Our scripture reading this morning will be from Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
See everybody here today. I know there are family members and friends here. We're so thankful you came today. We want to make a special effort to invite you to be a part of our worship. And I see family members. I've met some of you that family members of folks here in the congregation. And it's just a joy to meet you and to have you with us today. And some are from out of town that came to be with family. It's wonderful to be together. We hope you'll have an opportunity today just to really glorify God, to give him praise and thanks for what he's done for us in Christ Jesus. And if you're in town, one thing we forgot to tell you is if you came today, you really do have to come now forever. So we'll be looking for you next Sunday. But as Tim said, if you're looking for a church home, you're looking for a group of people who just love God, who want to be in his word and study it, live it out and do our best to serve, you are truly welcome to be a part of our congregation here. We just really hope that you can come and join us and be a part of our congregation. I love the song that we sang just a moment ago, In Christ Alone. It's one of my favorites, along with that reading that John brought us from Romans chapter 8, because it touches on some of the greatest blessings and the most wonderful things that God has done for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we're going to focus on that this morning, the blessings that we have in Christ alone. And sometimes it just seems too good to be true. Have you ever noticed, though, that sometimes things seem to be too good to be true, probably are too good to be true? You've probably seen on the internet, maybe you've been, you go to some website and it says something like, you are the 10,000th visitor to this website. Congratulations. You've won a free prize. Click here. Probably too good to be true. Or fill out this brief survey form, and you'll get a $50 gift certificate to Best Buy or something like that. Or the one that always puzzles me is the guy says, I made $5 million last year. And this isn't on the internet. This is in the old days of print hoaxes and frauds. But the guy said, I made $5 million last year, and I'll show you how you can do it for $49.95. And I every time I see something like that, I'm thinking, okay, if I've made $5 million, what do I need your measly $49.95 for? Unless maybe that's the way I made the $5 million. I'm just kind of wondering about that. But sometimes things just seem too good to be true. I was on a website this week about folks who had stumbled into things that they thought were true and weren't. And they had some testimonials of things that people had been through. And this is one I really, honestly, couldn't believe. A woman whose name is Jackie, she withholds her last name, from Miami, Florida, writes this. I was contacted by an individual in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire. Maybe a red flag should go up right there, unless you happen to know a lot of folks in West Africa. Regarding a bank draft for $400,000 to be delivered to me in the United States in Miami, Florida. According to this attorney in Abidjan, all I needed to do was send a service fee of $200 plus a $1,000 guarantee or for insurance for the draft of this check. And I won't read the whole thing, but you probably have gotten something like this in an email before. This lady apparently sends the money off. Then she finds out that the draft's been sent to Spain, and the bank in Spain wants $5,120 to complete the transfer, and she sends that, and then Spain wants another $6,000 for government and I'm reading this, I'm thinking, you're kidding me, right? And finally she says, after all this was paid, $11,000 was requested from the Spanish government. At that time, my friends and I started investigating. Well, that sounds like a pretty good thing to do after you got $15,000. Would you believe it or not? It was a fraud from Nigeria. I just can't believe it, but that's what she discovered. Sometimes things are just too good to be true. I hope her story is just that. I hope that's too good to be true. I'd really hate to think that somebody spent that much money going after that $400,000. But sometimes those things that seem too good to be true, you know, they're there to get, to kind of appeal to something that we want. But I want to tell you something that's very important today, and that is that there are some things that seem too good to be true that really are true. In fact, the very best news, the greatest things, the most wonderful news that you could ever receive is actually true. What I'm speaking about, for example, the greatest of all is the grace of God. It really is true that God created you and that He loves you, and He created you for a relationship, and He has poured out love and mercy toward all of us through Jesus Christ, His Son. And we don't deserve it, and we're the last people who should ever get it, but it's true. The grace of God is really true. And the blessings that God wants to pour out upon you through Jesus Christ, those blessings are true. God really wants you and I to have peace in a world that's so troubled and confused. It's true. God wants us to have that peace in our hearts. God wants to for you and I to know the forgiveness of our sins and to have victory over death itself. That really is true. It's not a hoax. It's not a scam. That is an offer that comes from God Himself. He wants you and I to know the power of the risen Christ in our life to strengthen us, to mature us in our faith. These blessings are true and they're real. They're in Christ Jesus. And as we know very well, they hinge on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Eldon talked a little bit about this story in Matthew's account, Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. As Eldon said a moment ago, the women go to the tomb, anticipating the need for the stone to be rolled away, but it's already rolled away. The angel says, that appears to them, Jesus isn't here. He's risen. Why are you seeking the living one among the dead? And he proclaims the resurrection of Jesus to those women. Now, I know what I'm about to say is pretty self-evident, but stop and think about it. That is either true or it's not. Would you agree? The story, the message that the angel gave and that the scriptures teach us about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, that either really, really happened, truthfully, or it didn't happen. It's just a story. It's not real. One of those is true. One of those has to be. And if it's not true, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, man, life is bleak. There's no forgiveness. There's no good news. There's no gospel to preach. You know, Paul would say, you know what? If that's not true, you folks sitting in that church building today are wasting your time. You should be sitting at home eating hard-boiled eggs or something, you know, that have been piling up on your kitchen table. It's like, it's just a waste of time. If Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, none of this certainly matters. But if he has been raised from the dead, well, that's a whole different matter altogether, isn't it? If he has been raised from the dead, that changes everything. And in fact, Paul goes on to say in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, as one who had personally seen the risen Christ and spoken to him, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Not only did Paul says, did Jesus rise from the dead, but that ensures the fact that those who put their trust in him will be raised from the dead as well. And that's the testimony of Scripture, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Not just Paul, but all of the apostles. Eldon mentioned 500 people at once who saw the risen Christ. All of the writers of the New Testament affirmed that Jesus rose from the dead. And that, if true, is an absolute game changer for this world, and specifically for you and for me, and for our lives. If this Jesus came up out of the grave, literally came forth, never to die again, but to sin and to reign in heaven, then that proves something about Jesus. Paul says it in Romans 1 at the beginning of that letter, speaking about Jesus, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul just says, this is the proof of the gospel. This is a demonstration that Jesus is the Son of God, that He's Lord, that He's Master. He was raised with power from the dead. And so if the resurrection is true, it changes everything. If you and I believe this, it's going to change our lives. Do you believe? Do we believe, truly believe, that this man Jesus, who died on the cross, was raised from the dead? If you believe that, It changes everything about your life. You can't deny the implications of that. If a man came forth from the grave never to die again, but to ascend and reign at the right hand of God, he truly is the Son of the living God. He truly is the Lord and Master. And you and I, if we believe that, we bow down before him, we worship him, we proclaim him as Lord and God, and we give our lives over to him. We listen to his teachings, we follow his word, because he truly is who he claimed to be. And not only does the belief in Christ and his death and resurrection change our whole priority system and the focus of our life, but at the same time we receive amazing blessings because of the relationship that we have with God in Christ. And these are blessings that are found, as the song says, and as the scriptures teach, in Christ alone. Think about some of these with me today. In Christ alone, you can find peace. You can find stability in a world that is so filled with confusion. There's a lot of good in the world, isn't there? And we praise God for the good things that go on in this world every day. But we also understand that this is a world that has a lot of confusion and a lot of disorienting things are happening. And we don't always understand what's going on. And we see evil at times in this world. And we wonder how we can stand in such a world. Unspeakable things happen. A man will fly an airplane filled with people into a mountainside. In eastern Kenya, a group of thug terrorists will go into a university and gun down hundreds of innocent people. And we see this kind of stuff that happens all of the time. The world in so many ways, even with the goodness in it that is a sign of God's presence here, there's evil, there's confusion. We all see it. And it kind of shakes the world at times. It shakes us in our thinking. We wonder what's going on. And we've seen tragedies and difficulties of all proportions in this world, from natural disasters that have leveled towns, and tsunamis that have come in, down to the smaller things that just happen in our own individual lives. I mean, some of the great trials that we face aren't necessarily the large, great scale things going along in the face of the earth, but the problems in my own life. The confusion and the uncertainty I have in my own life at times, when there are problems among the relationships that are dearest to me in my family, or when we're struggling with getting a diagnosis of cancer, or we're going into surgery that is life-threatening, or someone that we love that just shouldn't seem to be taken away from us is gone in a moment. And our hearts break, and we face these trials and these confusing times and these traumas. And we wonder, can I endure today? Can I get through today, let alone what is going to happen when tomorrow comes? A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a young man. We just kind of happened to cross paths. And this kid was, I say kid, he's in his, probably about 30 years old. That's a kid when you're my age, I guess. He's a kid. He's telling me a story, and my heart just broke for him. Because his life was just in a shambles. Relationships in his family were terrible. And you know, sometimes it's just circumstances just kind of pile up in your life. It just gets worse and worse and worse when you're down, and it just seems to kind of, you know, just overwhelm you. And he realized some of the trouble he was in were some bad decisions he'd made in his own life, some really wrong decisions. And he recognized that, but he was living in the consequences of them. As we were talking and, you know, trying to find something to say to him, trying to find a path forward, a word of hope, you know, I was thinking, you know, there are some things this guy can do, some practical steps he can take in his life to make some of this situation better. But deep down, what that young man really needs are the blessings that are found in Christ alone. He needs to find a peace in this life that he's not going to be able to find no matter what he does. He's not going to find it in the world. He's not going to find it in his family or in the circumstances that his life's caught up in right now. He can only find it in Christ, that peace that passes understanding. He needs to hear the Lord who calls out in the Gospel of Matthew, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The Lord wants to give rest. He wants to give peace and comfort to people whose lives are filled with strife. As Paul wrote of this peace in Philippians 4, he said, "Don't be anxious about anything." Well, that's easy to say, isn't it? But Paul goes on to tell us how to really fulfill that in our lives. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul says there's peace, there's hope, there's understanding that transcends anything in the world. People will not even be able to understand. How in the world can you be at peace when you're facing this? And Paul says this is the peace of Christ. This is a peace that comes when you truly come to the Lord Christ. You give Him your life. You come to Him for peace. You give your life over to Him. And in that relationship, God is able to bring blessing and peace into your life that you would not know. And it's in Christ alone that you can find that peace and stability. He is our hope, our strength, our light, our cornerstone, our solid ground. We build our lives on Jesus Christ. And how many of us have experienced this? We're not just talking about theoretical things here, are we? We're talking about our own lives here. I look back over my life and I think of some of the losses that we faced in our family that were crushing and heartbreaking. And yet, in the midst of it was the presence of God and the presence of Jesus to bring us through that. To give us a peace that just defied human comprehension. And it wasn't because of us. It was because of our reliance upon God. You've seen it too. Times in our lives where we think, how in the world is this story going to end? How in the world am I going to get beyond this in my life? And somehow, you give that burden to God. You live through that burden with the Lord. And He gives you the strength to go through it. Not just to go through it, but to come out on the other side stronger and truly more mature in Christ and filled with His peace. I've seen it all my life with people who live in Christ Jesus, who have that relationship with the Lord. How many times have I seen it in this family here? Brothers and sisters here dealing with issues in their life of every sort and nature. That would just knock some people down and just leave them in total despair and complete doubt. And yet there is that spirit of peace and comfort that's found in Christ Jesus. And it truly is a blessing from God. It seems too good to be true. You know, we sang about it just a minute ago. When peace like a river attends my way. You know, when everything's going great in my life. Or when sorrows like sea billows roll. And we've all known those sea billows of sorrow. Whatever my lot, You've taught me to say it's well with my soul. That's not just wishful thinking. That's the result of a life of faith. That there truly is peace in the midst of the most difficult times. But it's a peace that is provided in Jesus Christ alone. If you're troubled today, one thing I hope you hear in the message this morning is that the Lord Jesus Christ longs for you to know His peace. He longs to give you a solid place to stand in your life. And along with that peace and security, forgiveness of your sins, and victory over death. I was a strange little kid. I know that's a perfect straight line, and it'll get thrown back on me. What do you mean just when you were a little kid? I probably continue to be a little bit strange. That's okay. I'll take that. But I was really, as strange as I am today, I was really strange as a little kid. And one of the things, I've mentioned this before, one of the things that really bothered me was I was always afraid I was going to die. You know, which is pretty traumatic when you're like 8. You know, and it wasn't my mom and dad. I don't know. I didn't watch any bad movies or something like that. I just had this mind that went in all sorts of weird places. And I was at school one day and I got stabbed with a pencil. I'm sure it was inadvertent. When the guy came at me, I'm sure he didn't really mean to stab me, but I threw up my hand, and he stabbed me in the hand, and the lead broke off in my hand. And I can still just barely see the little line there where it was. I can't believe I can still barely faintly see that mark, but it's still there. Well, I was immediately convinced that I was going to die of lead poisoning. And so even though my teacher assured me that wasn't the case, I ran off to the nurse's office. And she, you know, washed it out with probably Mercurochrome or something like some, you know, advanced thing like that. Put a Band-Aid on it, sent me on my way. Wasn't long after that when one day I just didn't want to go to school, and I had a thermometer. I was trying to prove that I was sick, and I really don't know how old I was. I had to be really little, but I put the end of the thermometer on the light bulb in my bedroom because I thought that surely a light bulb's hotter than 98.6, right? So I'll have a fever. I won't be able to go to school because I'm so sick. Well, as soon as I did, the end of the thing popped and just broke off. And then, you know, it's like, what were you thinking? I thought, well, maybe it'll still work, and I put it in my mouth. I didn't cut myself, but then I thought, this thing's got mercury in it, I'm going to die. And I just knew it was the end of my life. And I, you know, then, every, you know, talk about getting in trouble. I'm lying to my mom with the thing. I broke the thermometer, and now I'm going to die from mercury poisoning. So it was not a good day, and I ended up going to school, but I didn't, as you can tell, I didn't die that day, but I was just afraid. I thought one time, maybe I'll be the one. Maybe I'll be the one who escapes, you know, Elijah, you know, there was Enoch. Maybe I'll be number three, you know, and then, you know, I thought, because I knew my Bible as an 8-year-old. I really did. But I thought, you know, odds are against me. I think I'm going to die. And as I got older, and, you know, as we get older and we get into the Word of God, it dawned on me how death is tied in with sin. You know, we die because of sin, and you can take it, Paul traces it all the way back to Adam, and says, in Adam, all of us sinned, and because of that, we're all going to die. You know, because of that sin, our rebellion, God didn't create us so that we would die. God created us for fellowship so that we would live forever. And then we rebel in the garden, and boom, death comes into the world, and it passes to all of us, because we're part of Adam, and we have the same thing happening to each one of us because of the entrance of sin into the world. And God was not willing for that to be the final word. Because God created us for fellowship. God created us for life. God created us for eternal relationship with Him. And so He decided, by His grace and mercy, to do something about our rebellion. And we all know what that was, of course. It was to create a way for us to find forgiveness, to deal with the sins in our life that are the root cause of death, and then ultimately to give us victory over death. And He does that through Jesus Christ, in Christ alone. God comes to earth in Jesus. He lives a perfect life in Jesus. Jesus then becomes the substitute for our sinful nature. Jesus goes to the cross. Jesus pays the price for us. Jesus comes forth from the dead. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree. And I'd go right along with what Rod said in his prayer. Maybe we should say, He Himself bore my sins, Richard's sins, in His body on the tree. That's what Jesus did for me. That is the love and the grace of God. And in His resurrection, He demonstrates the power and the victory over sin itself, that He has vanquished death. He doesn't just die for our sins. He takes on death and sin and Satan all rolled together. And through His perfection and through the power of God, He overcomes to break the spell of sin and death over us. So that the writer of Hebrews says, since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity. Why did Jesus come in the flesh? Why did all this happen? What was He after? He shared in their humanity so that by His death, He might destroy him who holds the power of death. That's the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Folks, that was me. I was afraid of death. I didn't like the thought of my own death. And Jesus, in His resurrection and through His perfect sacrifice on the cross, destroys the power of the evil one over death. He breaks that spell. Paul says, it's just a matter of time. In 1 Corinthians 15, it's just a matter of time when Jesus comes back, that death itself, as an entity, death itself will be swallowed up in the victory of Jesus Christ. Death is yesterday. Death is on the way out. Jesus is bringing life. For as we sang, as He stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. by the love of God, by the blood of Jesus, by the empty tomb, the curse is gone, and we can be forgiven. And I don't fear death anymore. I'm not afraid of it anymore, because my Savior delivered me from that fear. My destiny isn't the grave. My destiny, and those who are in Christ Jesus, all of you are in Christ, the destiny that we have is life together with the Father. As Peter said, and we've been doing it in song today, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. This blessing of forgiveness and victory is in Christ. And in Christ alone, it's the only place you're going to find it. And the good news today is that if you are carrying a load of guilt and sin in your life, there is no need. Christ paid that debt. He has taken care of it through His blood. If you're here today and you're afraid of death, you don't need to be. I had an uncle who was just afraid of death. He never said he was afraid of death, but he wouldn't go to funerals. And when somebody in his extended family died, they never would even have a funeral. He didn't like to talk about it. He didn't like to acknowledge it. I know that he, all of his life, had this fear because he had never known Christ. He had never really come into fellowship with Christ. And so he would just kind of put it out of his mind. You don't have to just pretend. You don't have to put it out of your mind. Christ is taking care of it through His death and through His resurrection. And we, in Christ Jesus, can experience forgiveness of sin. The sin's wiped out. Victory is there. Eternal life. And finally, there's power in our lives. The power of the risen Christ is in us. And we have the security of God's love. If you want to hear something that just sounds too good to be true, hear what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Paul speaks of this incomparably great power for us who believe. What is this power that we have, those of us who believe? What is it? He says that power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. Are you hearing this? Paul's saying that in the church, in the body of Christ, and those who are in Christ, there is power. What kind of power? Oh, it's the very same power. Is there the very same power that was exerted by God to raise Jesus out of the tomb, and not only that, but to ascend Him into the heavens and seat Him in the highest realms and in heaven above all others. That resurrection power is available to God's people today. We can live as disciples of Jesus with the power to live the way God calls for us to live. You know, sometimes you read the Scripture, you think, well, I can't live like that. The demands are too great. What looks to me like that's just going to be too difficult. How in the world could I ever reach what God wants me to? I'm telling you, you and I can't. But the power of Christ and the power of God's Spirit living in us can make this happen. And it does make this happen. Paul will say, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. There are no limits spiritually. We have spiritual power in Christ to do the things that we could not do on our own. You can face temptation. You can overcome temptation. Rod talked in his prayer about resisting temptation, about standing up against Satan, about filling your heart with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God. We can overcome sin in our lives. I'm not saying we can become perfect, but we can aim in that direction. And by the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we can win some spiritual battles against Satan. Our temptation is no longer that alluring thing to us that it once was. And we can find in Christ the power to have different lives, to have holy lives, to really live differently than people around us. Not so that we can point to ourselves and say, oh, look what a great guy I am. No, but because we want to be like Christ. Because we want to be like the God who has called us. We can deal with anger. If you're a person who just seems to be controlled by your anger, your temper, or you like to get even, or you have trouble forgiving people, in Christ there truly is spiritual power by God's presence in your life to change that, to become more like Jesus, to let God control your spirit. It's not something that happens magically or in a moment of time. That's what the life of discipleship is all about. But the point is, the power of God is there. We can do things. We can serve God and people in ways that are beyond what we think we can do through the power of God that is at work within us. We can even love our enemies and those who strike out against us. Heard from several people from Kenya over the last couple of days since the attack at Garissa at the university. And a couple of the things I've seen or heard posted on Facebook, some of it's kind of calling out for vengeance. But most of it isn't. Most of this, it's now written by brothers and sisters in Christ. Their message is like, you know, may God turn the hearts of these people to come to know Him and His love in Jesus Christ. Of course, they're praying for healing for those that have lost so much, who've experienced such tragedy. But it's amazing how those in Christ can forgive. And rather than seeking vengeance, are able to pray for God's mercy and for people's hearts to be turned to faith in Jesus Christ, which is, brothers and sisters, the only ultimate answer, isn't it? Against hate and against violence and against terror. It's the love of God in people's lives. Christ gives us amazing power to be what He wants us to be. And nothing in the world then can stand in the way of the people of God because we are secure in Christ and in His boundless love. John read to us a moment ago from Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, Paul says. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing can take us out of the hand of God. As we sang a few moments ago, no power of hell, not even the power of hell itself, no scheme of man, no deception, no lie, no hoax, nothing that man can devise, nothing can pluck us from the hand of God. We are secure in the love of God. We stand on that solid ground in Christ Jesus alone. And we have a confident expectation of the future because we believe in a God who raised Jesus from the dead, who's taking this world and taking us to a purpose and a destination that He has foreordained so long ago to bring us into His presence. We live without fear and without guilt, secure in the love of God. And if you know these blessings today, if you're living your life in Christ alone, if you're a believer, you've been a Christian, and you're serving the Lord God, then praise God today and glorify Him and worship Him that you have enjoyed and appreciate and actually experienced these amazing blessings that we have in Christ Jesus alone. And renew your devotion to your Savior. Renew your commitment to God as you think about His grace and His mercy toward you. And if these blessings sound a little too good to be true to you, we who have known these blessings want to simply testify that they are true. Now, we don't experience them because we're better than anyone. We don't experience these blessings because we deserve them. We only experience these blessings because we are in Christ Jesus. And that's where the blessings are. And God showers His people with the blessings that He wants us to enjoy in this life. You won't find these blessings anywhere else. They're just not there. They're not out there in the world. You won't find these answers. You won't find the answer for stability or for victory over death or forgiveness of sins and dealing with guilt and failure in your life. You won't find that place to stand that can never be taken away from you. And God makes it so clear in His Word. He wants every single one of us to know His peace. He wants every one of us to know the stability of a life in Christ. He wants to forgive the sins of everyone in His creation. He wants us to know the victory over death that Jesus Christ has won for us. And He wants His power to be unleashed in us so that we serve the living God with everything we have, with everything we are, secure, absolutely secure in the love of God for the future that we have and for our eternal life. These blessings are in Christ. They're there in Christ, and they're in Christ alone. We've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, that He's the Son of God, believe that He is the Lord, that He died for us on the cross, that His blood is the forgiving power for our sins, that His empty tomb is the power of our victory over death. We've got to put our trust in that to the point that we will come before Jesus Christ in faith and submit our lives to Him and make Him our Lord and respond to His demands that we come to Him, recognizing His Lordship, giving our life over to Him. And then in faith, in that kind of faith in Jesus Christ, we can be baptized into Christ that we might come into Him. As Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, you are all children of God through your faith in Christ Jesus. You are all children of God through your faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus have clothed yourselves with Christ. The blessings are in Christ alone. So we come to Christ in faith. We come to Christ and we're united with Him by faith and through baptism into His life, into His death, into His resurrection, that we can be forgiven of our sins and come to live in the power of Christ. This isn't a trick. There's no hoax. There's no small, tiny print down at the bottom of the page that's going to zap you if you take up God on what He's offering you. This is the truth. And you know what? It just seems too good to be true. But it is the gospel truth. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the message that's proclaimed in Scripture and one that we proclaim today. Jesus is for real. And so are the blessings in Christ Jesus. And if you don't know those blessings today, we invite you to come. If this is maybe a day where you're just kind of exploring your faith, if you have some questions, if you want to study the Bible with someone, let us know before you go today so that we can sit down and arrange a time to talk. If you're at a point in your life where you know you're ready to make this commitment to Christ, you're ready to make Him Lord and Master of your life, come and confess Him today. Confess Him and confess your faith in His life, in His blood, in His identity, in the empty tomb, that He's the Son of God and your Savior. Be baptized into Christ. Be clothed with Him. Put Him on like a garment through your faith and baptism and come to know the blessings that are in Christ alone. That's what He offers us today. The good news of the victory that is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us step into that victory and praise God for it. Let's stand together as we sing.